time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler with my co-host Jeff. And today we are on the Thanksgiving conversation of what are you thankful for? And as I said, you know, November is time of giving thanks and Thanksgiving. And usually a time in which we all engorge ourselves with too much food. But what, in the moment of reflecting, you know, what are some things maybe we could stop, take pause, and give thanks for? Jeff?
I think before I answer that question, which is a great question, I got to say this. You know, what am I thankful for? Doesn't it depend kind of on what day you catch me? Because it's like there are some days when it seems like everything's going wrong, in my opinion, based on my perception. Everything's going wrong, and I get focused on what I'm upset about rather than the 99% of things that are going right.
Sure. And sometimes I feel like the things you're most thankful for at times can be the things that are pushing your buttons. Like I think of my children sometimes can push my buttons with a million questions or different needs and whatnot. But obviously, they're not doing it with intent to push your buttons.
Right. There's somehow you, I guess we're human in this regard, and a common thing we do. But the reason's because you've got a built-in expectation, be it that life has always been easy in this one area, and today it's a challenge, and so now you're mad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Yep, that's exactly. Well, and I mean, you know, you think of, like I said, being thankful, the thing I am most thankful for, and how I think of, you know, when I give thanks for my blessings of my children, I think of, well, how many times do I push their buttons?
Well, yeah.
You know, getting on their case to do this or do that, or, you know, so it's a full circle experience for sure.
Others are not the only ornery things in the world. Sometimes you are ornery too, right? You
mm-hmm.
are. No. So maybe a better way, if I were to ask me this question on my most frustrated day, maybe ask it this way. What would you miss most that you enjoy the most in your life?
That would be a pretty easy answer for me. Would be my wife and children would be what I would miss most, in the sense of, I mean, my wife does so much stuff for my kids and I. We definitely would be lost without her. And obviously, like I just said, our children are our greatest blessings and we love to do stuff with them. And I would say beyond that, I think there are things that would be short-lived misses. I mean, obviously, if you lost your home, that would be pretty devastating, right? Or if you lost maybe your favorite pair of shoes, I don't know. Like, they're all things you could just, I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't be bad experiences. I just can't think of something that I have that's a material that I eventually wouldn't get over losing.
Hmm. I'm with you. I think, and so what we're talking about is, you know, you see devastation occur worldwide where you have to readjust your expectations. If you're in Florida, down south, on the West Coast, you completely understand this. If you're overseas and you're still trying to rebuild from one of those devastating earthquakes or a tsunami that happened way back when, you understand there are events that
money's coming.
Yeah, they give you perspective. You don't know what trouble is until trouble really comes knocking. Mm-hmm. So you can't take my faith away. You can't take anything that God has given me away. So I'm going to assume everything regarding my faith is intact. Okay, so we're talking material relationships here on earth, right? So, okay,
yep.
I want to quantify all these things. So mine, I'm with you. Family, my wife at the top. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I am so grateful that my kids are believers. Probably beyond anything else, that they personally have come to their own relationship with Jesus. It's not my relationship that they have by extension. They know Jesus, and that was a big fear I had.
Sure.
You know, growing
as they grow up, yeah, of course. Well, and you know now, as they are believers, that what is that proverb? Train up a child in the way he should go, and he'll never depart from it.
Right. And
well, so, but you know now, as they become young men, as they are believers, that's going to shape their entire experience.
Right. And so that's now their burden when they have kids one day. So anyway. But no, listen, my friends, I am so grateful, man, for Mike, like you, I mean, you're a great friend and
sure. Our friends and yeah. family. I mean, something else I got to say I'm thankful for is our both of our sets of grandparents, man, do so much stuff for us. Everything from watching our kids to helping us out with our house to everything, man. I mean, we are so fortunate and lucky to have the most awesome people around us. And I know, you know, certainly I'm not always somebody who gives thanks. I'm imperfect, but you know, when you really sit back and think about how lucky you are, it's pretty awesome. It really is.
So you're saying like the support systems that we just kind of assume they'll always be there.
Exactly. But you know, obviously that's not going to be the case.
No,
we're not all living forever.
No, that's what do you call it? That hourglass of sand is going out
mm-hmm.
for everything. I think, you know, I'm thankful for the church that we have. It's not perfect. There's issues in
the family of God.
Yeah, but listen, you know, every family has its quirks, but I'm so grateful. Again, they're part of that support system. You know, going back a little bigger than that, I know that there's issues with our country.
Sure.
But we are still the freest nation in the world, and that's shrinking, but we still are. And I'm just so grateful to be an American.
I kind of remember as a kid when 9/11 happened, something I would say that I would be thankful for is obviously not that event happening, but the coming together of all of the people in the country, setting aside their differences to just help each other. Maybe it was through suffering of just the general, man, we can't, you know, the traumatic experience that just occurred, or maybe it was the people actually in New York helping each other back up and on their feet from the devastation they just experienced. But either way, everyone came together, and that is where I think the true, I don't know if you want to call it thankfulness or camaraderie of the difference of giving thanks.
Giving thanks does something. It makes you lean into ideals, if that makes sense. It's like you're stepping back and you're looking at what's right. Mm-hmm. Instead of what I want, what I demand, or what I'm going to require, you're looking at what's good here. You know, unity is not uniformity. We're all different. But yeah, you're right. And Americans, there have been times we have pulled together as a nation. And in those times, the reason we were able to pull together is we looked to what we had in common, that we share, that we value. And so we chose in that moment to forego our demands, our personal preferences for a greater good.
Mm-hmm.
And that brought us together. And
it almost seems like sometimes we just need to get smacked in the face metaphorically with something so bad to remember to give thanks for what good really is.
Isn't that wild? I think you're right. I think that is a true statement. If we'll stop in those moments when we've been smacked.
Sure.
And we're mad, that it's like, you know, looking back, all the good times that we've had, that we've enjoyed, they're not certain.
And or the times you just took it for granted or took advantage of, like you said a couple minutes ago, what was always going to be there.
But that expectation.
Of course it's not.
And that they, clearly the reason you're mad is because it's not guaranteed, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, I am thankful, I'm grateful, and I would miss, you know, the comfort in life. That's probably the other part of this, is it's attached to being American. There are, you said shoes, but it's so broad, and the comfort, the little things that we just assume will be there, and there's no guarantee they will be. And the comforts that we enjoy in this.
All the way down to something as simple as you go to the store and there's 15 different cereals to choose from.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't think that really happens anywhere but here, per se, that there's so much choice and option and selection. So I think that's something else we can give thanks for, is like, we are the freest, most abundant,
prosperous
place on the earth.
We really are. And so if you're having a bad day, get a little balcony view, maybe a little higher.
Give thanks for all the good you got.
And start naming off the things that are going right. And I think you'll find real quick that your day goes a whole lot better because you gain some perspective.
I think we can give thanks to, most importantly, God, and knowing that, as we just talked about, all those things that we do sometimes forget to give thanks to or take advantage of or think are always going to be there forever. This is the one hourglass that does not run out of sand. It is the for always good, the for always there, and the for always to give thanks to.
I was just saying this to another friend. I said, you know, we get in trouble when we say those always and nevers, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people who are overachievers and who are just a gift to us. And we get in danger, whether it's a person or a situation that in our mindset has always or never, right? It's always been good and there's never been a hiccup.
Even though most of the times it's not either one of those.
Right. But we think that's our perception. That's our perception. But what we get in trouble with is we come to require and expect that it always and never are those things, and that what was and what is a gift cannot be required. It cannot be expected or demanded, because the moment that you do that, it's no longer a gift.
It's an expectation.
It's an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible tells us every good and perfect gift, quotation marks, gift.
So not expectation.
Right. Is from God. But a gift can't be demanded. It can't be required. It can't be expected. And these are gifts and you should enjoy them. But the moment you start demanding them, and I know it's hard for our country, it's hard for our culture right now to hear, but that's one of the problems. We've got our hands out demanding and requiring, and it's probably why you're having a bad day.
Sure. But I mean, how easy is that to flip the script and just imagine if somebody came to you and they were like, hey, man, I noticed you didn't get me anything for my birthday.
Yeah, you owe me.
I was kind of thinking maybe you're getting me like a $100 gift card and you didn't.
Yeah, I can't wait to get that gift you're going to give me.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'll give thanks for it. Thank you.
You didn't forget my birthday, did you?
Yeah, well, it was last week. So.
The guilt trips begin.
I'm just kidding. It's not until March. You got time.
Yeah. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, as the song says, but don't require them. Don't demand them. Don't expect them. And your day's going to go a whole lot better.
In a season of giving thanks, give thanks now, but maybe take this time to realize that you could do it in more than just a season. You can give thanks all the time and realize your positives over your negatives.
Hey, and one more thing on that, I'm going to piggyback on you. Be a person, live a life that causes others to give thanks.
That's something I'm thankful for. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com. where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Please share the word. Peace, love, and God bless.
Share the podcast too. It's Blindly Obvious, baby.